I didn't know why he'd killed whoever Piero was, but I would pretend it was self-defense. Tony had been thrown into this life as a young man, and while my chains were tight, so were his, in a sense. "Can't help it," I replied. He shook his head when I began dialing. "Don't call Vito. I'm fine. You're not fine, Tony. You really don't look so good." His tanned complexion was sweaty and pale. "I'm fine, Elena." I sighed. It was just like Papa to leave Tony bleeding without calling for help. I hung the phone back on the hook because my brother had said it in that voice. Even if Vito came, Tony wouldn't have anything to do with him. Too stubborn. I crossed my arms and leaned against the counter with my hair still dripping water to the floor. "Why don't you like Nicolas?" He snorted and took another drink.
"Lots of reasons."
"Well, what's the number one?"
"He fucked my girlfriend."
My eyes widened. "Jenny?" Another pull.
"Did she tell you?"
I asked. He shook his head.
"He sent me a picture."
Ouch. "Are you sure it was her?"
"Butterfly, lower back."
"Oh. Well, that was rude of him." Honestly, it was hard to feel sorry for Tony. He cheated on Jenny with that servant Gabriella, and I wouldn't doubt others. I didn't take Nicolas as a man to sleep with other men's girlfriends for the hell of it, though, and I had a feeling. "What did you do to him?" A not-so-nice smile tugged at Tony's lips. And there it was. There were always two sides to every story. He took another pull, and with a frown, I watched the blood drip down the side of the island and collect into a small pool. Drinking was only going to make him bleed more. I pushed off the counter and pulled the bottle straight from his lips. Whiskey splashed down his chin and chest. His eyes narrowed, but his next words were slurred.
"Jesus, Elena."
He looked wasted, or really close to passing out. I unwound the shirt from his hand and recoiled. "Oh my God. You have to go to the hospital, Tony." A bullet-shaped hole went straight through his hand, like the barrel had been placed directly to it. I covered my mouth, the urge to gag rising in my throat. As I backed up to find Benito, Tony passed out. He fell sideways out of his chair, leaving a smear of red across the counter, and landed with a heavy thunk on the kitchen floor. "Crap, crap, crap. Benito!" I yelled.
"Why are you shouting?"
Adriana asked as she breezed into the kitchen in galaxy leggings and a sports bra. "Your fiancé shot Tony."
"Dead?"
She raised a brow, focused on picking the best apple out of the bowl on the counter. "Where's Mama?" I asked. She shrugged, peeling the sticker off a green apple. I sighed. "Fine, if they want to play this game." I nudged open the swinging door and shouted into the hallway, "I'm calling 911. On cue, Benito, Dominic, and my papa pushed their way into the kitchen. Papa narrowed his eyes on me, but then noticed his only son lying on his back in a lot of red. He spoke quietly to Benito. He always spoke quietly unless he was mad. And then my cousins hauled Tony up, one under his arms and one by his ankles, and carried him out of the kitchen. "Not Vito," I told my papa. "The hospital."
"Yeah, yeah, Elena, they're taking him," he said dismissively, his gaze coasting over the blood on the floor.
I eyed him, wondering if he was telling me the truth. My papa never took any of us to the hospital without a fight. He glanced at me, noting my suspicious gaze.
"It's just as good as a hospital," he snapped. "Ugh."
I had no idea where they were taking my brother. Most likely a doctor papa had on his payroll.
"Hey, has anyone seen my drawing pencils?"
Adriana interrupted. Chapter 6. Behind every great fortune, there is a crime. Lucky Luciano. Elena. I might not have had a good reason to dislike Nicolas Russo in the beginning, but after meeting him, after he shot too close to my head, and after he put a bullet through my brother's hand, I now had substantial motive to immensely dislike him. The whys of it all didn't matter. Tony had been gone all night. It wasn't until I'd gotten back from dance practice 20 minutes ago that I learned he was going to be okay. He was given a 75% chance of having full use of his hand again. Apparently, Jenny had volunteered to move into his apartment and help him out. My mama told me this with a roll of her eyes. She really didn't like Jenny. And after hearing she'd cheated on Tony with Nicolas, I wasn't sure what to think about her either. Granted, I would have dumped Tony years ago if I was her, but I didn't understand sticking around if you weren't going to be faithful. It made me believe she was only around for one thing. I sat cross-legged on the couch, watching a documentary on recent humanitarian crises, still dressed in my sweaty leggings and an off-the-shoulder top. It was one of the hottest days of the summer so far, and Benito had left the windows down the entire drive home. He'd said the wind did great things for his hair, and so I never got to cool off. I pressed a cold water bottle to my face. The front door opened and my papa's voice filled the foyer. A rush of awareness ran from the nape of my neck down the length of my spine. I realized Nicolas was here before I even heard his voice deep and indifferent. A strange dance began in my stomach. Even though I stared at the TV, I had no idea what was happening, because I was hyper-aware of every noise coming from the foyer. As their steps went by the living room's double doors, a cell phone rang.
"Take it," Papa said. "I'll be in my office."
Since it was silent, I imagined a nod from Nicolas. My papa's footsteps drifted down the hall.
"Yeah,"
Nicolas drawled. A couple of seconds passed before,
"Motherfucker."
I tensed. It sounded like he was going to kill someone, and his steps were coming straight for me. Before I knew it, he reached over my shoulder and stole my remote. "Hey," I protested. He didn't respond. He only changed the channel. Breaking news flashed on the bottom half of the screen, and the blonde newscaster went over the details of a large drug bust at the border. Nicolas stood behind me. Close enough, my ponytail brushed his stomach. His hands gripped the back of the couch on either side of me as he leaned slightly over my head, his attention on the TV like I wasn't even here. It was invasive and rude. My pulse drummed in my ears as my heart tripped up in what could only be called anticipation. My body's unwilling reaction brought a rush of annoyance. I didn't like this man, heart fluttering or not, and I suddenly didn't care how inappropriate it would be to talk back to him. "Yours?" I asked smoothly. "Bummer." A tug on my ponytail.
"Watch it."
His words were low and distracted. Warmth spilled into my chest, like I'd just gotten away with playing with fire. I wanted to do it again. Was this how people became addicts? There are 7 other televisions in this house, Russo. Another tug on my ponytail. But this time he pulled it all the way back so I was looking at him upside down. His eyes narrowed.
"I'm beginning to wonder if this sweet Abeli even exists."
I swallowed. "You shot my brother." Was his fist? It was wrapping around my ponytail.
Once. Twice.
His gaze flicked to the TV.
He deserved worse.
This man was going to watch the news with a fistful of my hair? My God. Maybe it was due to my head being at an awkward angle and my blood not circulating as well, but my brain wasn't getting enough oxygen. And the fact that he smelled so good, like clean soap and man, made the corners of my vision hazy. "You're not a judge and jury," I breathed. His gaze came down to me.
"He almost got you killed, yet you stick up for him.
He's my brother." His expression hardened.
"He's an idiot."
My mama's voice filtered into the room from down the hall, and slowly, he unwound his fist from my hair and took a step back. A moment later, she entered the room.
"Nico!
I didn't know you were coming today." Mama's tone was tight. She didn't like that he'd shot Tony either. but she must have known it was coming and hid in her room all night. Will you be staying for lunch? I'm sure he's got plenty of stuff to do, Mom.
That sounds great, Celia.
Great. Mama sounded like she meant the opposite. I was so glad to have her back on my side. I'll prepare a spa for you then.
Thank you.
Her steps grew faint as she left the room.
You know what pisses me off?
His tone was dark, but somehow it only awoke a thrill beneath my skin. I knew the answer to this question. Assuming? I focused on the TV, pretending not to care about what he was doing. But my heart faltered when he moved close behind me. I held my breath as he slowly set the remote back in my lap. And then, right at the hollow behind my ear, he whispered,
"Smart girl."
A shiver ran down my neck. But then he left with a parting word.
"Don't fucking do it again."
The sun burned hot and heavy. I imagined if I lay on the brick patio, I would be as well done as my steak.
"Really, Celia?" Nona complained. "It's hotter than blue blazes out here, and I can still see a blood stain on the patio."
I changed into high-waisted shorts and a short top that bared a sliver of my midriff, and a drop of sweat still ran down my back.
"Some fresh air is good for you," Mama replied.
"So is edible food," Nona muttered, pushing shrimp around with her fork like they were still alive. I kept my eyes on my plate as I ate, mostly because Nicholas sat directly across from me. He wore no jacket, and he'd rolled up his white dress shirt. I was right. Black ink started at his wrist and disappeared into his shirt. It wasn't often I'd met men with tattoos, at least not ones so obvious. The only thing I could make out was the Ace of Spades tattooed on the inside of his forearm. I guessed he accepted the nickname Ace, which I'd heard he was called. I might have read a few articles on him myself. He sat next to Adriana, and they both seemed like they'd always done it. She'd even given him a look because his leg was touching hers. It was strange to imagine them as a couple. Yet I'd seen them exchange words, which I'd believed would be a difficult feat in itself. I thought Mr. Rabbit had even been brought up. I'd assumed they wouldn't be good for each other at all, but I was beginning to wonder if I'd been wrong all along. Papa and Mama were discussing something between themselves, and Nona was picking at her food, when Adriana suddenly said,
"It's called manspreading."
Nicholas' gaze flicked to my sister.
"What?"
"Manspreading. How you're sitting." He didn't respond, only sat back, rested his arms behind Adriana's chair, and then, like he was merely getting comfortable, stretched his legs out a little further. My sister's expression hardened. All right, maybe I spoke too soon about them working well together.
"You know, Nico," Nona started, "I don't blame you at all for shooting Tony. He's had it a long time coming, and his papa hasn't done a thing."
Papa grunted, apparently now listening to the conversation.
"That boy has shot 4 of my vases. Don't know what I'd do if he ruined another."
She sounded like it was the most grievous thing Tony had ever done.
"Glad to hear it," Nicholas drawled.
Mama shot her a dark look, and my nonna smiled triumphantly at her plate. These two were all I needed to see to know I would never live with my mother-in-law. I chewed my lip, hesitating. I'd been waiting for the right moment to ask Papa something, and now seemed like the best time. He was always easier persuaded around other people, most likely because he didn't want to come off as a controlling jerk. I'd hardly left the house for anything but dance in 6 months. Surely he couldn't punish me forever. "Papa," I started, "one of the dancers is having a pool party on Sunday in celebration of the summer recital, and I was wondering if I could go?"
"Which girl is this?"
he asked. I shifted under his eagle-eye stare. "Well, actually, his name is Tyler." Nona harumphed.
Since when are you into beta males, Elena?
I shot her a look for giving Papa the wrong idea. She pursed her lips and focused on poking at her food. The table went quiet while he gave it some thought. I swallowed as Nicolas's gaze warmed the side of my face. Papa took a drink and set his glass down.
I want the address and the owner's information. And you'll take Benito.
I let out a small breath. Was I being forgiven? Guilt pierced through my chest because I knew I didn't deserve it. Thanks, Papa.
I'm going inside before I melt, Nonna said, getting to her feet.
This was the worst day to eat outside, Celia.
Don't know what you were thinking.
Chapter 7. We don't break our captains. We kill them. Vincent Gigante. Elena.
Mercy!
Mama grimaced as I explained the plot of her book club novel.
I don't even feel bad for not reading that one.
She hadn't read a single one of them. I had.
Okay, I have to go,
she said, putting a heel on with one hand and an earring in with the other. Your papa and Benito are out, but Dominic is in the basement. Oh, and help your sister pick out her cake flavor.
Tua zia Lisa needs to know today, please, Elena.
I sighed and climbed off my parents' bed.
Leaving!
Mama's voice drifted out of the room. I heard a faint, finally, from my nonna as she passed the doorway with her servant Gabriela in tow. She'd gone on her afternoon walk, or, more likely, sat on the patio for 5 minutes of fresh air while gossiping. A couple of moments later, I pushed the kitchen door open. Adriana sat cross-legged on the counter with two plates of cake before her. Her elbows rested on her knees, and her fists were under her chin, while only wearing her yellow polka-dot bikini. What are the flavors? I asked, coming to stand before the island. The sun was the only light in the room, casting the windowpane reflection across the counter.
Pink champagne and luscious lemon.
She said it like the options were really tasty garbage and rotten apricot. She was going to drag this out for as long as she could. Asking my sister to make a decision was like requesting her to write out the equation for time travel. I tried both by scooping some up with my fingers. Definitely the lemon, I said, opening the cupboard for a glass. I didn't normally have dance practice on Tuesdays, but with the recital coming up, we'd had it every day. My thighs burned as I stood on my tiptoes to get a cup from the top shelf. Benito and my other male cousins were all taller, yet they always took the glasses from the bottom shelf just to annoy the girls in the family.
I was leaning toward pink champagne, Adriana groaned.
Then pink champagne it is, I said, as I filled my glass from the fridge water dispenser. She shook her head.
No, now it doesn't seem right.
The lemon, then.
That one doesn't seem right either,
I sighed. My sister could drive a saint to curse. I leaned against the fridge and eyed her over my glass. Why are you in your swimsuit?
Was on my way to the pool, but Mama stopped me and said I can't leave the kitchen until I decide.
After a moment of thought, a smile pulled on my lips. Mama left. Adriana's gaze, warm and hopeful, popped up from the plates. An hour later, with the cake flavor still undecided, Don't Stop Believin' played on the pool radio. The sun was hot, sparkling off the blue water as my head emerged from beneath. The cool liquid ran down my shoulders as I waded to my sister, who wore sunglasses and lay still on a floaty. She was a diva in the pool. In other words, boring. I tipped her. She came up sputtering, pulling her sunglasses off and pushing the dark hair from her face.
I don't know why you can't just let me...
She trailed off. The pool sat at the side of the house, allowing a view to the front gates. My gaze followed hers to see a lawn care truck coming down the drive. Oh, no. Before I could say a word, she pulled herself out of the pool. Adriana, don't, I warned. My stomach twisted.
I wasn't sure how she'd seen Ryan this long without Papa finding out.
She'd falsified her class schedule, putting an extra time slot down that she could spend with him. But seeing him at the house was too risky. She turned to me, her gaze soft and pleading.
I just want to talk to him.
And say what? That you're still getting married in 3 weeks? And whose fault is that? She snapped. Ouch. She was never abrupt with me like this. We might not have talked much lately, because what would we talk about? Her wedding? But she'd never been hostile with me.
I haven't done anything you haven't done, I told her.
I know. I just need to talk to him.
You would want to talk to...
She glanced toward the ring on my finger under the water.
Him.
If you could. Wouldn't you?
Would I?
I didn't know. Maybe that was the reason guilt felt like a heavy weight I carried around daily. It had all been meaningless. It wasn't even for love. And I was the only one who'd gotten out alive. The cameras, I warned her. There was a security system downstairs that Dominic only had to glance at to see what was going on outside the home. I took a deep breath and tried to ignore the unease that swam in my veins. The living room. Talk to him in there so you can see if anyone comes down the drive. The gardener came on Tuesdays and Fridays for lawn care and to clean the pool, so the truck wouldn't raise Dominic's suspicion. Let's just hope my cousin was immersed in Skyrim like he usually was and wouldn't show his face upstairs. Thankfully, Benito wasn't here. He had a sharper eye. My gaze found Ryan, who stood next to his truck, looking in our direction. He wasn't even wearing his lawn care t-shirt, but a button-up and jeans. I groaned. What the hell is he thinking? Adriana beamed.
Thank you, Elena.
Then she was running toward him. As I lay on my back, arms out, the sun warmed my front while the cool water licked at my sides. My eyes closed. I wondered what it would be like living here without my sister. How long I would coast through the halls until I got the same fate as her. I wondered if my papa would let me take classes this upcoming semester. Though I was sure I'd blown that for myself. I'd been pulled from all writing and political classes 6 months ago. I was free from a job, all responsibilities, if I wanted. But even as the water held me up, slowly turned me in a circle, I might as well be drowning. Drowning in a past mistake I could never fix, but one I could try to make amends for. One I would amend in the only way I could. The quiet purr of an engine broke through my thoughts. My eyes flew open. Swimming toward the side, I grasped the edge of the pool and watched a shiny black car park next to Ryan's truck. I didn't know who it belonged to, but soon enough the door opened, and the worst person who could show up stepped out. A cold sweat drifted through me. Disaster loomed in the distance, more blood, young, lifeless eyes. No. It wasn't going to happen again. I pulled myself out of the pool and headed toward the front of the house, ignoring the itch to go in the opposite direction. Nicolas held a manila envelope in one hand and shut the car door with his other. My skin buzzed with a cool sensation, and my bare feet paused at the end of the walkway. I stood there in a white bikini, soaking wet, while my heart beat a mile a minute. When his gaze finally came up to me, he stopped in his tracks. We stared at each other. He was only wearing black dress pants and a white short-sleeved shirt. I swallowed. It felt like he was more underdressed than me. Black ink covered one arm, while the other was smooth, tanned muscle. Warmth rushed to the pit of my stomach and spread through me like fire. My breathing shallowed as his gaze trailed the drips of water running down my body. Each drop that hit the concrete was another match lit in the short space between us. His attention settled on my face, his gaze narrowing.
Is this how you welcome all your guests?
I blinked at his rude tone. I couldn't exactly say I'd ever stood half naked in front of an unrelated man and had him angry with me for it.
Some,
I tried for nonchalance, but it sounded more breathless than anything. He gave his head a shake, letting out a small breath of amusement. He wasn't amused at all, though. That much was clear by the way a muscle in his jaw ticked. It wasn't often I was an irritation, and I wasn't sure if I liked it or not. When he headed for the front door, ice crept through me. I took a step forward. Nicholas, wait! He stopped, glancing at me sideways. Papa isn't here, I rushed out.
Oh, where?
Was all he said while heading for the door again. My stomach dipped. Without thinking about it, because I would have chickened out, I hurried and stepped in front of him. He stopped short and glared at me. My heartbeat wavered like a plucked string. Without my heels on, his presence was larger, more intimidating. You can't go in, it's not proper, without my papa home. There wasn't a chance my father had invited this man over while he was away. How did he even get past the community gates? But I already knew Nicolas did what he wanted regardless of rules, and my papa must have realized that before the marriage contract was signed. His gaze sparked.
You have a second to move before I do it for you.
Be my guest. You'll get all wet. Somehow I thought that was a great comeback, but it only made us both aware I was half naked and soaked. The breeze grew hotter, the air denser. His jaw tightened as he took a step forward. I didn't move. His white shirt almost brushed my white bikini top. My breasts tingled in anticipation, and drops of water tickled as they dripped down my midsection. His body heat was a living thing, sinking into my skin and urging me to step closer, to press my body against his. I couldn't breathe when he leaned in, his voice low against my ear.
You're lucky I have shit to do today.
The rough sound ran the length of my neck, goosebumps following. I couldn't help but think, what would he have done if he didn't? His fingers brushed mine as he slipped the manila envelope into my hand.
Put it on your papa's desk.
He took a step back, and my entire body burned in the aftermath.
And don't fucking go through it.
I wished I could say his tone doused me with cold water, but it didn't. My gaze narrowed as I looked up at him. The sunlight made his amber eyes even more golden. Your business with my papa is the last thing on earth I would concern myself with. His voice darkened.
Good.
We stared at each other for another moment. He jingled the keys in his hand and took a slow step back before turning around and heading to his car. I stood there and watched him because his back was as nice as his front. Nicolas opened his car door, calling out, By the way, it's Nico. Nobody fucking calls me Nicolas. As he backed out of the drive, I reminded myself to keep calling him Nicolas. I headed into the house, dropped the folder on my papa's desk, but before I could leave, my gaze was pulled to the small safe in the corner of the room. With a tight throat, I walked toward it and tried the handle, even though I already knew the outcome. Locked. Guilt made me grasp onto the tiniest shards of hope. I checked each drawer of his large mahogany desk, though, once again, knew I wouldn't find what I searched for. My papa had all of his private bank information in this house locked down. But one of these days, he had to trip up. One of these days, this family would pay restitution for the innocent life they'd taken. I walked out of his office to watch Adriana shuffle Ryan out the front door. I crossed my arms when I saw her swimsuit top tied awkwardly to the side, her bottoms on inside out. While I was saving her ass, she was having sex? What a little... Ugh. When he was gone, she leaned against the door, looking pale and relieved. I pursed my lips in disappointment, turned around and chimed, Lemon! As I headed up the staircase. Chapter 8. Give a girl the right shoes, and she can conquer the world. Marilyn Monroe. Elena. I stopped short in Adriana's doorway and closed my eyes in disbelief.
Papa is going to kill you, I told her.
Good, she muttered, adding a long arc with her paintbrush to the canvas that leaned against the wall. The painting would have been a rainbow if it wasn't all black. My sister had been brooding since Ryan came over. She went to her classes, but otherwise stayed in her room. The week crawled by with her casting a black cloud over the house, with her emo paintings and sappy music. I was beginning to feel guilty again, but there wasn't a part of me that wanted to put myself in her place. I'd rather have a husband who wasn't so rude, wasn't such a womanizer as I'd heard, and truthfully, less handsome. Maybe that sounded odd, but to me it made perfect sense. Laughter filtered up the stairs, and I closed my eyes once more. Adriana's engagement party had started 5 minutes ago, and she currently sat cross-legged on her floor in overalls, covered in paint. I could see Papa's temper not far in the distance, and I would feel its heat just because I was such an easy target. Adriana never reacted when our Papa raged at her, and it annoyed him, so he turned it on me. What on earth could you be thinking right now? I headed toward her closet, not looking forward to digging through costumes to find the rare dress she could wear. That I hate my fiancé? He's rude. And you've seen him, right? Can you even imagine us having sex, Elena? I paused, gave my head a shake, and continued pushing clothes on hangers aside. No. I'm not going to try to imagine that. She sighed. A couple of hours ago, I realized I would have to have sex with him. I made a noise of acknowledgement, not surprised it had taken her this long to come to that assumption. The obvious was like the hidden secrets of the world in Adriana's eccentric mind. Surprising, as she'd always aced her schoolwork and had more friends than I could ever hope for. And I kept thinking, maybe there's a reason he manspreads so much. He is big. Then I began to worry, so I started looking up pictures, well, videos of men his size naked, and that only made me worry more. You were watching porn, I said, deadpan, standing in the closet doorway and watching her paint Mr. Rabbit beneath the black rainbow. She tilted her head to eye her masterpiece. Yeah, I guess that's what it's called. Adriana! My sister groaned, and I looked toward the door. Mamma wore a red cocktail dress and an angry expression. A slew of Italian flew past her lips as she snatched the dress from my hand and then smacked Adriana on the back of the head. Shower now! Adriana grumbled and got to her feet. And porn? More Italian. What were you thinking? A laugh escaped me. Mamma shot me a glare, and I turned it into a cough. She'd always shown up at the most inopportune times. We couldn't get away with anything. Elena, go pacify the Russo. Lord forbid he starts shooting the guests again. Me? What am I supposed to do? All I received were a few sentences of berating Italian that didn't even address the current topic at hand. When my mamma went off, she'd talk about everything but what she was currently mad about. This time, it was how she broke a favorite porcelain dish earlier, Nonna complained about her lunch again, and the gardener hadn't shown up today, which was definitely for the best. Guests trickled in the front door as I made my way down the staircase. I wore a pink choker maxi dress, heels with a bow that tied around my ankles, and my hair down pinned to one side. Even though I didn't approve of this marriage, it didn't mean I wasn't going to take the opportunity to dress up. Frankly, it was the highlight of my week. Elena! My cousin Sophia squealed as she came through the front door. Squealed was the best way to explain it. She was 19 with a constant mischievous expression. I've missed you. She threw her arms around me, and I took a step back at the impact. I just saw you at church Sunday, I laughed.
I know.
She smacked a moi on each of my cheeks and pulled back.
But so much has happened since then.
She hadn't been here for the lunch incident, but I understood my family well enough to know that my 3-year-old cousin Caitlin would be able to recite the entire event like she'd been present. Where's Sal? I asked. Her older brother was a male version of her.
He ran into Benito out front. You know, man talk.
She rolled her eyes. All right, I'm gonna go find us some alcohol. Then we need to talk about this Nico I've been hearing about. Check out the bloodstain on the patio. That's all there is to tell, I told her. That's not what I've heard. Mama said he's hotter than David Beckham. I don't know who that is. Her mouth gaped. You're living under a rock, Elena. Too many books, not enough TV. The quote of the century, I mumbled wryly, as she saw another cousin, squealed their name, and left me there. For a moment, I stood alone in the foyer. The windows and patio doors were open, allowing the summer air to flow through the house. It was a beautiful night, and I was praying it didn't end up like the last time we'd had the Russos over. Tony wouldn't be here, so we had a much better chance. I turned to find Papa to tell him there was an issue with Adriana's dress and that she was going to be late, and to let him relay that to Nicolas. But before I could, the front door opened once again. Bitterness crawled up my throat, but it was now too late to get away. Nicolas Russo had the worst reputation of any man I'd met, hands down. Though somehow, I'd found the courage to be myself around him. Not the sweet Abelli everyone used to know and expected me to be forever. But just as it was when someone got sucked into their old habits by the people they hung out with, I was tumbling back into the abyss of fake smiles and fake words. And I didn't know how to get out. Elena! Warm air brushed my skin as the front door shut, and I longed to be on the other side. But instead, I smiled politely. Oscar! Mid-30s, with dirty blonde hair and expensive suits always worn with a colored tie, Oscar Perez was handsome in a classic and charismatic way. He never lacked female attention, yet he always lavished his on me. He worked for my papa and was often around for parties. But since we'd had nothing going on, I hadn't seen him in months, since before the incident. It was one of the biggest reliefs, but unfortunately, all good things have to come to an end. Don, you look as beautiful as always, he told me, giving me a kiss on each cheek and lingering too long. Demasiado hermosa para las palabras. I didn't know what he'd said, but I assumed it had something to do with my symmetrical face. I stared at his light blue tie, the color of his eyes. I hated it. His skin was uncharacteristically fair, and for some reason, I resented his blonde, comely appearance. What a lie it was. Thank you, I said, trying to take a step back, but his hand went to my lower back and drifted to the top of my ass. My stomach tightened with unease. He was lean but tall, and his presence consumed me like a bad aftertaste. He'd always been subtly inappropriate, his fingers just grazing things they shouldn't. Close enough to make me uncomfortable, but not too close to get shot by my papa. If he went further, would my father even believe me now? Oscar pulled back to look me in the eye, but his hand didn't leave me. Something crawled under my skin. I realized at this moment why I couldn't escape the expectations people had for the sweet Abelli with anyone but my sister's fiancé. Nicolas Russo was safe. He was marrying my sister. There was no chance I'd have to marry him. No chance my actions would alter how he would treat me as a wife. Most men walking through these doors could be a potential husband to me. Why make it worse on myself? Oscar's fingers tightened on my lower back and he spoke in my ear. I hear you've gotten into trouble since the last time I saw you. My heartbeat drummed. He'd always been inappropriate, but politely inappropriate, if that made any sense at all. He'd never brought up something so personal and invasive. His saccharine voice took a cruel edge.
I was very disappointed when I found out, Elena. You can understand why, can't you?
There was one thing that could mean my worst nightmare, but I wouldn't accept it, didn't believe it. I wasn't going to call him a liar, though.
Of course, I breathed.
I didn't realize how tightly he'd been holding me until he let me go, and I fell back a step, my line of vision focused on his ugly tie. It took a second to realize we were no longer alone, and the heavy presence against my back could only be one person. Oscar glanced warily behind me, before looking back at me with a fake smile and bitterness dancing in his eyes.
I'll see you at dinner, Elena.
He kissed the top of my hand, eyeing my cheap ring with a grimace, and then disappeared into my home like a snake on the loose. I stared at the door while his insinuation resounded in my mind. Resentment crawled into my chest, creeping to wherever it resided. However, maybe Oscar Perez was what I deserved. Slowly, I turned around, my gaze traveling up a black vest, black tie, to a gaze just as dark.
If that was the sweet Abeli, can't say I'm impressed.
Where Oscar's presence was a dark looming shadow, it felt nothing compared to Nicolas's larger, warmer one. His pulled you in, didn't send you away. It was infinitely more dangerous. The reminder of my spineless behavior still permeated the air, and I couldn't flip the switch so fast. Excuse me, I breathed, taking a step around him, but he reached out and grabbed my hand. I didn't get a chance to even weigh his expression before he was pulling me to the front door. His rough palm practically burned mine, spreading a warm sensation in my lower stomach. It took a moment to find the voice to speak, and once I did, it sounded more breathless and uncertain than it ever had. What are you doing? He was mad. He had to be to touch me in the middle of the foyer with guests around every corner. He ignored my question.
Where's my list?
My brows knitted, and then I remembered I was supposed to write that. I, forgot about it. Under the warm glow of the porch light, I heard Benito and Saul laughing near one of the cars in the drive, but it was too dark to see. Nicolas's grip was soft but strong, and so there was no other choice but to follow him down the stone path, toward the side of the house. I had no idea what we were doing, but it was either go with him or back inside where Oscar roamed free. It was an easy choice, though surprising, considering I'd only seen one of them shoot their family member in the head. Nicolas stopped near the corner of the house, released my hand, and leaned against the brick wall of my home. A second later, the orange flame of a lighter cast his face in gold tones as he lit a cigarette between his lips.
You smoke? It was a stupid question as he was now blowing out a breath of smoke and watching me with a lazy expression.
Sometimes, was all he said, his shoulders tense.
He glanced up to look at the security cameras above our heads. He was in a blind spot leaning against the wall. I was probably front and center on the screen for Dominic to see. What would people think if I was, once again, caught alone with a man I shouldn't be with? A rush of anxiety shot through me, and I stepped to the side and out of the camera's view. Nicolas's gaze was heavy, angry even, and I wasn't sure what I'd done to him. I glanced at the starlit sky. It was beautiful, but I didn't believe he'd brought me out here to enjoy it with him. In fact, it looked like he'd prefer I wasn't here at all. I sighed. Why am I out here with you? The night was dark, but I still saw a bitter expression cross his face.
Saw that prick push you around, touch your ass. was wondering if I could get away with the same.
My heart stilled for a split second before I narrowed my eyes. I had my reasons for putting up with Oscar, but I didn't have to deal with this from a brother-in-law. I took a step to leave, but a rough hand grabbed my wrist.
Stay.
It wasn't a suggestion, but neither was it demanding. Why did he want me to stay when he was clearly angry with me? He was rude and confusing. And who told him he could hold my hand, pull me around, and make me feel warm all over? I imagined Nicolas Russo had gotten whatever he'd wanted since he was young. And being the only child, he didn't even have to share. I let out a shallow breath and pulled my wrist out of his grip. It was stupid, but I was going to stay. I told myself it was only because I needed to get to know this character, for my sister's sake. Not because his mere presence made something hot unravel inside me. I eyed his cigarette. It looked small and harmless in his hand. I didn't know what it would look like in mine, but I was beginning to wonder. He must have noticed my expression, because he pulled the cigarette from his lips and handed it out to me. He wanted to share? He watched me with that hooded, looking into the sun expression, not saying a word. My pulse fluttered. It had been 6 months since I'd even touched a man. That must be why I was having such schoolgirl notions about handholding and cigarette sharing. Male contact wasn't a normal thing for me. Even before this ring graced my finger, it hadn't been then. I took the cigarette from him, and he watched me as I brought it to my lips and inhaled. The coughing was instantaneous, my eyes watering. Dark amusement ghosted through his gaze before he reached forward and took it from me, his fingers brushing mine. I wasn't finished, I protested, still coughing a little bit. If I was going to smoke, I was going to do it right. Maybe I was a perfectionist, but I couldn't leave anything halfway or poorly done. I watched him put his lips on the cigarette where mine had been. Thank God it was dark, because my cheeks grew hot. This man had barely said anything to me that wasn't rude, short, or demanding. Yet my body reacted to everything he did like it was magic. Che palle. I was crushing on my future brother-in-law. He handed it back to me.
Not so much this time.
I listened to him and only inhaled a little bit. A couple of seconds passed before smoke smoothly escaped my parted lips. A languid rush filled my bloodstream, my head feeling light. The breeze was warm, the song of the cicadas steady, while I shared a cigarette with a man I knew nothing about. My mama's gonna kill me, I said softly, followed by my cousin's low laughter drifting on the light breeze. Nicolas dropped the butt, blew out a breath of smoke, and stepped on it.
You tell your mama everything?
I looked up at the starry sky. The answer was no. I never told anyone much. Nothing that mattered, anyway. She'll smell the smoke, I said, gazing at the constellations. I glanced at him to see he'd been watching me. I flushed, every inch of my skin growing hot.
Come here.
Something soft and charming wove through his deep voice. My heart skittered to a stop. This was how this man got women, by only saying, come here, in that tone. Nonetheless, I couldn't say I felt cold when he was rude either. I had always done what I was told, especially by the made men in my life. Though not a single step I took in his direction was because of that. I was a moth moving toward the flame, until I stood close enough for my wings to ignite. I held my breath when his hand rested on my waist. His grip tightened as he pulled me forward until my chest brushed his. My pulse beat in my throat,
and his hand was so hot, spreading warmth to the pit of my stomach, that I hardly noticed him leaning in, brushing his face against my hair.
"No smoke."
The words were smooth with a rough edge. His palm slid from my waist to my hip before he pulled away, leaving a trail of fire down my side. He pushed off the wall and I took a step back and out of his way. Walking away, he stopped and turned to me. His voice was cool, indifferent, and laced with that commanding tone he'd mastered.
"The list? I want it tomorrow, Elena."
Chapter 9. What do you mean? Like, do I carry a membership card that says Mafia on it? Willie Moretti. Nico. Temptation is half naked, innocent, and dripping wet. And I am my idiot cousins. Those were the two conclusions I'd come to this week, with an irritating sense of acquiescence. I was practically up to my neck in work, and yet I could only focus on one goddamn thing. Elena Abelli, of course. So fucking wet. The way she'd stood there, dripping water to the concrete while staring at me with those soft brown eyes and that sweet expression. Her long, wet hair, and a body you'd see on a porn star. Jesus, it couldn't be real. That's what I'd convinced myself. But then it followed me, got in my way even, and told me what I couldn't do. It was regrettably real. Every perfect square inch of it. For an unknown reason, the idea of her greeting guests looking like that dug under my skin. Was her papa letting her run around half-naked while men were over? And, as her soon-to-be brother-in-law, could I tell her to go put on some fucking clothes? I hadn't ever wished a girl would get dressed, especially one with an ass like Elena Abelli's. Frustration clawed at my chest, because I knew when irrational responses went through my head, it meant one thing, and it usually wasn't good for either party involved. The night was lit by tiki torches and the sparkling orange lights above the Abelli's patio table. The atmosphere seemed to be easy enough, though that was probably because all the Abelli's stayed on one side of the yard and all the Russos on the other. A servant poured Adriana her sixth glass of wine, and I reached out and took it from her, setting it on the other side of my dessert plate. Her gaze burned a hole into my cheek. "You're not fucking old enough to drink," I told her. She sighed, mumbling something about having to drink to forget the videos, whatever that meant. We were supposed to be getting to know one another, as her mama suggested, but we'd hardly said a word to each other, and I couldn't find it in me to care. Mostly because I knew where her sister stood and was concentrating on not letting myself look in that direction. The girl had the entire male population of New York kissing her ass, and I didn't care to be included in that circle jerk. Nevertheless, a flash of pink in a corner of the yard caught my attention, and I couldn't stop myself from flicking an unwilling glance at her. She was playing croquet with her girl cousins and Benito. And just like a prima donna, she still had her heels on. I'd thought my perception of her personality would be a big enough repellent, like a thick cloud of bug spray, or maybe a little mace. Unfortunately, it didn't do anything to turn me off. Not when I looked at her, and especially not when she spoke with that soft, warm voice that soaked through my skin and ran straight to my groin. I now understood my cousin's fascination. The fact that I could be lumped into the same group as those idiots? Ridiculous. I knew what this was. I was a Russo. We wanted what we couldn't have. And what I couldn't have was Elena Abelli in my bed just one damn time. "You don't like my sister?" Adriana asked. Jesus, she was a bit perceptive. I would have to remember that. I took a sip of whiskey. "I like your sister just fine." "Hmm," was all she said, like she didn't believe me, but didn't give a shit either. This was how our conversations seemed to go, short and apathetic. I couldn't decide if we were perfect for each other, or if she'd drive me crazy with her idiosyncrasies. My gaze found that blonde prick talking to one of Elena's uncles. I didn't know the man, but I knew I wouldn't help him if I saw him bleeding out on the street. A burn radiated in my chest from only looking at him. I'd barely stopped myself from smashing his face against the front door earlier. Elena Abelli was not my business, regardless of the way the Russo blood in my veins burned a little hotter in her presence. Yankees or Mets? Adriana had poured all the salt out of the shaker and was now drawing caricatures in it. Red Sox, I responded dryly. Boxers or briefs? Commando, I lied. Her gaze dropped to my dick, only to look away a moment later and purse her lips. This game is boring. Amusement filled me. This girl was fucking weird. And I was aware that's why Salvatore had offered me a daughter in the first place. Unfit, he'd said about Elena. Unfit my ass. Not a single man in the Cosa Nostra would turn Elena away because of her lack of virginity. Salvatore didn't want to give up the favored sweet Abelli, at least, not to me. He probably thought he'd gotten one over on me. I'd take the weird one. At least she would be entertaining. She was also the smartest choice. Who knew how many men Elena had been with? I was done. If I married a woman who'd been fucked by a few others in the Cosa Nostra, it would look bad. And honestly, I never was that great at sharing. I'd have to kill all of them, and I already had enough on my plate. Luca leaned against the wall by the open double doors, sharing a look with my cousin Ricardo, who sat at the edge of the party, quietly observing the scene. Luca held up two fingers, nodding toward the girls on the lawn. Ricardo shook his head. After a few more silent exchanges, they both nodded. At least tonight seemed to be dull enough for bets on stupid croquet games, rather than as eventful as it was last Sunday. I sure as hell wouldn't be the one to ruin it by cracking skulls against doors. I flicked a glance at Elena, to find her gaze already on me. It was the same way she looked at me when she said, "You'll get all wet." I tried to ignore the heat running to my groin. The words had been innocent. The thought not crossing her mind that any man would let her get them as wet as she wanted, and not with fucking pool water either. At first I thought whoever nicknamed her had never even met her, but as I spent a little more time observing her, it started to make sense. She looked tense when she stood up to me, like it was new for her, like she expected me to wrap my hand around her throat and squeeze. A thought I'd had, though probably in a different context. The sweet Abelli was trying to grow some wings. Thank fuck. Something in my chest rattled with satisfaction when she listened to me without hesitation. The hot-blooded male in me wondered how obedient she really was, and the Russo wanted to know how much she would let me get away with. I had already touched her more than I should. Had only shared my cigarette with her, just so I could see her lips where mine had been. I'd imagined those little pink fingernails around a specific part of my body, rather than holding a smoke. I'd only touched the girl's waist, and the warmth and softness of it was still burned into my palm. The whole goddamn situation was fucking annoying. The blonde prick grabbed Elena by the arm as she walked past, pulling her in to say something in her ear. Animosity crawled through me. Leaning back in my chair, I rested my forearm on the table and away from my gun because I had the sudden urge to shoot another man in the Abelli's backyard. Elena's papa glanced at the exchange, though hardly seemed concerned. My tongue ran across my teeth, a deep, unsettling ache unfurling in my ribs. Elena nodded tightly before the prick dropped his hand and let her go. She disappeared inside. "What's his name?" I asked Adriana, nodding toward the blonde whose mere presence had become tiresome. "Oscar Perry? No, Pretzel." Her brows knitted. "No, that doesn't sound right either. Oscar something. God, I'm hungry for pretzels now." "What does he do for your papa?" She frowned. "I don't know. Kind of a creep, though. He's always all over Elena." I let out a dry breath. Who isn't? They greeted her at church like she was Mother Mary. True, but she doesn't care about any of them. My sister is in love. My gaze narrowed. She's what? In love. Something dark and unwanted slithered through my veins. Adriana's wide eyes came to me like she just realized she'd said too much. She tipped her entire glass of wine back. I hadn't even noticed her acquire another. I shook my head, agitated. You puke tonight. I'm not holding your hair. I don't do that shit. My sister will, she said, like she was planning on throwing up. Are we done getting to know each other then? For now. Thank God, she muttered, getting to her feet and drunkenly drifting away to join one of her loud cousins. The girl had already introduced herself to me. Well, she'd come up and said, Mama was right. David don't got a thing on you. Before winking and then disappearing. Strange fucking family. I accepted another glass of whiskey from a server's tray, ignoring my cousin Lorenzo, who came to sit next to me. He pushed his jacket open and shoved his hands in his pockets. Who the hell knew where he'd been? But I'd rather he be anywhere other than staring at Elena Abelli. Just the idea itched beneath my skin. In a moment of silence, Lorenzo's gaze followed some Abelli's ass as she walked across the lawn. What'd he do to you? He nodded toward the blonde prick I guessed I hadn't been secretive about wanting to put a bullet in. Pissed me off, was all I said, swirling my glass of whiskey. Must have been bad then. Takes a lot to piss you off. Let me guess, he insulted your mama? No. Papa? No. Your most handsome cousin? 6'2", dark-haired, big cock? Lorenzo, I said dryly. Yeah? Fuck off. Lorenzo laughed, slapped my shoulder hard enough to slosh some whiskey over the rim of my glass, and then left. Told you. Fucking idiot cousins.
Chapter 10. Whether we fall by ambition, blood, or lust, like diamonds, we are cut with our own dust. John Webster. Elena. It was silver, tiny, and reflective. I could almost see my face in it. Gianna's dress, of course. Long feather earrings, green heels, with her hair piled on the top of her head, and no makeup but red lipstick made up her ensemble tonight. If you're gonna do it with a male stripper. Trust me on this one. She was talking to my 15-year-old cousin Emma, who sat at the kitchen island, sipping punch through a straw while looking bored. All my aunts conversed about Adriana's bachelorette party as I sat off to the side and across from Nonna at the table, with a cup of coffee in front of her. We'd only heard that tiny bit of Gianna's conversation before my family's noise drowned out the rest. I shook my head, slightly amused but more unsettled. The words Oscar Perez had whispered in my ear earlier sank to the pit of my stomach. He'd pulled me aside once more to tell me to smile, that it would complement my belleza, whatever that meant. I didn't speak Spanish and I never wanted to. The beautiful language sounded harsh and invasive from his lips. I hated when someone told me to smile, as if a smile of mine belonged to them and not me. He never had clarified why he'd be